It's Sunday morning, Easter morning, April 4th.
Oh, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would move amongst us, O Lord, your Spirit of truth, O Lord, that we would receive revelation from you, we would be able to express that revelation, that we would have ears to hear that revelation. Do that good work on us. Be good today, but just generally, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that your Spirit would flow in truth and power. Flow strong, Lord, by your Spirit. Do that good work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I just want to add, I want to thank you, Father, for your Son who sacrificed his life for us to burn our sins of this world. And at this time of the year, I think a lot of people are thinking of it more and more. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. I can't imagine the pain that he went through. I just can't. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Let me say that I remember as a child in the Presbyterian Church having Easter be a big deal. Whole bunch of Easter lilies around, and then the choir would work up something big, you know, and they'd come in all triumphant in their robes, and you know, the organ would be booming, and it was kind of exciting, you know. I enjoyed it. I don't know that I enjoyed it in a spiritual way. I think it was probably a little more natural whoop-de-doo going on than my, you know, but I meant, you know, that's going on today. All over the country and probably the world, whatever. You know, people who haven't been in church in a long time, they're showing up, so the place is packed. And, you know, and there's a lot of pageantry and whatever. But, and surely our prayer should be that it, you know, a good work gets done by the Lord in all of that. That, you know, that would be good. That'd be good if that happened this morning. I don't know that it ever, as I say, I don't know that it happened much with me. I like the songs, but they were pretty, you know. But, you know, I was thinking when we were praying here this morning, I've got some more revelation coming as far as the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I don't have a full revelation on that. You know, a full appreciation of just what he did and a full appreciation of the glorious thing that happened when he rose from the dead, the way that he defeated Satan. Satan thought he had defeated Jesus. Turned out the whole deal got flipped with his resurrection. I don't have a full understanding, a full revelation of that. And boy, I would like that. I would like a real appreciation for all that happened there. That would be good. Now, I don't know that it has to happen on Easter. You know, whenever. But I suppose Easter's a good time to at least touch base on the subject. Mm-hmm. But I would like that. I think there is something, I have felt that there is something lacking in my spiritual understanding and appreciation for the good work that Jesus did here there on Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. I would like that.
Amen.
I remember going downtown. All the churches would get together and have a unity service at one of the theaters. And everybody would go downtown. And then the sunrise services and stuff. But I was always trying to touch God myself personally. And it just didn't seem to stick, you know what I mean? Until I actually gave my heart to the Lord.
Maybe something good happens with that for some people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rule out that the Lord uses that as an occasion to display himself in a way to someone who is seeking and whatever.
We're blessed that the Lord will use an imperfect situation for his good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't see a lot of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I was, as Charlie was praying this morning, I was thinking, I thank God for the anointing and the revelation he's given me to realize that thanking Jesus for the resurrection is not a once-a-year type deal.
Yes, amen.
We need to be thankful for him covering all of our sins, and it needs to be an everyday thing. It's just that the world can't be bothered with those things, so they kind of lump it all up and say, yeah, we'll talk about that today. And we need to be a little deeper than that and go, he died on that cross for me forever. And I need to thank him forever, every day for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many times do you have to pay for something?
Well, how many times do we sin and repent and sin again because we haven't overcome it? He covered it all. We did not have a good prayer. I was just saying, thinking, and beyond that, because you were exactly right. The world likes to make things impressive in the natural so that they get everybody's attention.
Yeah.
And then they all go away about their business and kind of forget why.
Sure.
So I
was not in choir. I was too young to be in choir, but I had older sisters that were in the choir. And I kind of remember that they, all the rehearsals and preparation and all the to-do that they did because of this basically performance that they were going to have on Easter morning there. Important deal. Getting it just right. It was not a spiritual exercise, though. It was,
it was a show.
Pageantry in the natural.
For sure. Yeah.
And Now, far be it from me. You know, if the Spirit's out there, the Spirit's out there, and that's the Spirit's business. And I suppose, you know, if we don't have the Spirit, what we're stuck with is the natural, and so you operate in the natural.
Mm-hmm. You might as well do it the best you can.
Do it the best you can.
Do the best you can, even though it's in the natural, and go,
yeah.
Sincere in my heart.
And, 10 Easter lilies isn't enough. Hey, make it 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, we spend a lot of time around Thanksgiving being thankful, but this morning I was thinking, it's like, really, the most important day to be thankful for is this day.
Yeah, amen, that's
because
right.
This is the day that eternal light became available to us. Mm-hmm. This is a day. And the world sort of gets it, but they don't want to. But I mean, as Charlie said, I mean, the Pope's going to do an Easter Mass, and I think he will. Mm-hmm. I think they're letting gathering going. I mean, but they'll do, and if they're not gathered, they'll be streaming it on the internet, and everybody will be there. But you know, it's a big deal, and the world recognizes today. But
a big show.
Well, yeah, I mean. Not a lot of the church world is into the spirit side of things at all.
I remember being in the choir and all the practices and who's going to do what solo and what songs are going to be when, and nothing was ever mentioned, I don't think, of Jesus dying on the cross and being thankful for it. It was who's going to do what. And it was kind of like the Sanhedrin and all of them, how they prayed. A show. But even God can use that too sometimes.
Amen.
Yeah. As they say, even if one opens up to God, you had a success. You know? So. You don't know what's being done in each individual, you know. All you can do is, what am I doing? What's being done in me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. We have no business, or we have no way of knowing what good thing.
Right. Yeah. You know, I watched two shows this weekend. One was called Judah Ben-Hur, and the other was Ten Commandments, you know, this weekend. And you watch the pictures, and a lot of the stuff that they dramatize a lot of things, you know. But, you know, how much of it is actually the torment that Jesus went through, you know? Did they over-dramatize it? Did they under-dramatize it? You read about it, you don't visualize what that flogging did to Jesus when they were telling about this morning on when I was watching the life of Jesus. And they were talking about the flogging and how many pieces of leather were on and how many metal hooks were at the end of it that they used on him. I don't know if that's true. The Bible doesn't tell you a whole lot about that, except that he was flogged, you know. But I think, I don't think I could take it. One shot with that thing would be enough for me, you know, because I don't have what Jesus had with his father at the time, you know. And none of us have that depth yet. We're on our way. But I don't want to say a long way to go, but we have a ways to go.
Yes.
You know?
I don't think that it really hurt him as much as taking out the sins of the world. It was all
yes.
together, you know, and it was our purpose.
That had to have been a lot worse than any of the physical things that were done to him. You know, Jesus said, don't you know I could bring down 10 legions of angels? You know, that must have, that would have been a terrible temptation to just be able to call this thing off in a second by calling down 10 legions of angels. And it appears to have been on Jesus' mind. You know, hey, I can put a stop to this thing if I want to, real quick. Mm. 10 legions of angels.
Mm. I'm sure the enemy was there tempting them with it too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he kept, you know, the crowd and the Sanhedrin, you know, members of the priests, you know, they're all telling him, you know, if you're the Son of God, come on down and off that cross. You know, it sounds like a lot like the temptation that Jesus went through with the devil here early on. Mm-hmm. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you be the Son of God, come down off that cross. Mm-hmm. Same deal. Mm-hmm. He didn't.
Yeah, but in the end, he conquered it. In the end.
Another part of that picture is Judas, when he realized what he had done. Now, that...
Oh, terrible.
That, yeah, really. Because he did realize...
That yes, he did.
...what he had done.
Through those silver pieces of... on the floor of the temple, and...
went and hanged himself.
Went and killed himself, right?
If he wouldn't have done that, I often wondered if he would have had forgiveness. Okay. One of those things, you know, goes quickly through your mind and then you not going to go there.
Well, he sort of repented, so maybe he would have
been. Yep, he said he had sinned.
Weird how the Lord does that. Mm-hmm. Here, Judas, it was an essential role
yes.
that Judas had there. And yet, same kind of essential role that Pharaoh had in proving the Lord's strength.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to fulfill that essential role.
No. Yeah, God blesses those he chooses, and he hardens those he chooses. You know? I mean, I guess I'd rather be blessed.
Bible on TV yesterday. That brings on all that stuff. Back then, it seems as though we haven't changed much. Not as much as we should have by now. It's just a different. city.
Yeah.
So the race wars and the racist problems we have in this country.
And my memory is not real good, but it seems to me that we used to do a lot of I don't know what the word is, but for Easter and Christmas, you know, a lot of choir preparation and a lot of song and a lot of things, but the thing about it, one of the problems is we would do it for a day, mm-hmm. you know, prepare for a day, and that's really not God's intention. That should be the preparation, and the heart that we'd have for it should be a continual thing. Last Sunday morning, I did something that was done 39 years ago, and declared war on the devil. Now, I don't know if anybody paid the price for that or not, but I have. And I can't say that anything that happened was directly related to that, and yet I've had some weird things happen. Monday morning when I got up, I had the same ringing that I have in my left ear twice as loud in my right ear. And I couldn't talk to anybody on the phone because I couldn't hear them. And it got to the place where I just went and laid back down. And when I woke up, which was a couple hours later, it was gone. But why it was there just temporarily or what happened, I don't have any clue. But I do know that the devil has responded to this thing, and I believe we're going to see some real major deliverances again. And but the thing is that one of the things that happens is that we can't really go look for the problem. The devil has to bring the problem to us. And that's kind of what happened in deliverance. We started casting out devils, but pretty soon people were saying, I need deliverance. I need deliverance. They're recognizing their weaknesses. And there's a lot of people that I know right now. I shouldn't say that I know. I don't really know them. I just know from hearing about them. A lot of people are saying, I need deliverance. I need deliverance. I need deliverance. And at some point, it takes God to connect the two, you know. If we can help them, then it takes God to put them in their image somehow, or put us in relationship to them so it works. What we saw in deliverance was major. And some of the people that came here for deliverance were willing to leave their own environment and be here. And then, of course, that wonderful, wonderful move that almost devoured everybody took care of that. You know, pretty soon nobody wanted to be here, including me.
But anyway, God is bigger than that. But I paid a price for declaring war on the devil. And weird things happened. I have a good memory for being as old as I am. And I can remember a lot of things that have happened down through the years. And the other morning I woke up, and I knew that memory was gone. I didn't have it no more. And it was an awful feeling to know that something that I have been comfortable with, confident in, it's all gone. And anyway, and I after I woke up there a little while, I thought, you know what? That's a lie. There's not anything in me that said that's gone, because it's not gone. Whatever I had, I still have. But anyway, that was a demonic thing. And the devil can get into our thought patterns. That's what he likes to do.
You're right, the devil can do that. If it drives us to prayer, though, you know, that's the devil takes a risk when he attacks us. He can maybe pull us down, but if he pulls us down on our knees and starts praying, and the Lord responds in a powerful way, then
he loses.
That's right. Yeah, he loses. And that's what we really, really need to have happen. We get a demonic attack, and I'm familiar with that. And I'm, you know, boy, the birds of the air can come and pluck away the thought that, hey, this would be a good thing to be doing some real business with the Lord about. You know, we have a real good way of dealing with this thing. It would be prudent, be wise to use it. You know, that thought can be a million miles away from me. Why, I don't know, but, well, I do know why, but anyway.
We had a young fellow come to the house a couple weeks ago, and I don't know about, he goes to a church, his dad is a minister. And we all know him. And he was I don't know what it was. It was shot. It wasn't his kidneys, but it was something that he was inside was shot. They prayed for him, and God gave him brand new ones, like a thing that happened to Jerome. But anyway, he also had been through some major deliverance, and he was kind of telling us about it a little bit. And and I thought, you know what? We haven't been the only ones that have been in deliverance. We have been fortunate that God has brought us some deliverance, but there's been a lot of people that have been aware that the the problems we're demanding. And, you know, and there's a lot of people in churches that can't get deliverance but know that they need it. So what we just need to do is be open for the Lord and be praying about it. And when it happens, it happens. And the thing that has to happen, which is really hard when you get older, and that is patience. And we need to be patient. And when we pray for people, we need to pray for people. You know, don't tell them, we'll pray for you next week or something. But as we pray for them, keep on praying until we get, you know. And that's the thing that I realize is that a person is not delivered until they're delivered. And they weren't delivered in the day of Jesus until they were delivered either. He had the upper hand on us, being the Son of God, you know, in his understanding. And I think he could do things quicker than we can, but at the same time, there are times in the scriptures that we don't pay it, we just ignore them, or we read right over them. And it says that the Spirit came out the same hour. It doesn't say how long he prayed for him. You know, he prayed for it until the Spirit left. In one time he prayed for a fellow, and he says, what do you see? And he says, I see men as trees walking. Was he immediately healed?
Only halfway.
You know, but see, he prayed with them until they were healed. Like, was it Smith Wigglesworth? Had prayed for a man. Was it him or who was it? He prayed for him. Yeah, it was Smith Wigglesworth that raised people from the dead. And he prayed for this man, and he stood him up at the corner, and the man crumpled and fell down. A dead body. And he said, I didn't say fall down. I said, stand up. And he prayed for him again, and he crumpled to the ground. And about the third or fourth time, was it the best for God? Third or fourth time, the man started walking.
Mm-hmm.
God brought him back to life. We wouldn't do that because we don't have enough faith to do that. But it's the same thing in deliverance. We saw the deliverance on Vicky that day. Of course, we were supernaturally. Anointed, but we prayed with her from 10 o'clock to 4 in the morning. Well, shouldn't everything be okay by 10:30?
We really are so, so, so fortunate to have effective prayer be available to us. You know, people can be in a hopeless situation, just hopeless, with no way out. All they have is misery to look forward to. And that's not true. It's not true for us. Susan was talking about how prayed for deliverance for her a few weeks back there, and she was having a real hard time. It was a terrible emotional turmoil she was going through. But Right? It's new. Hey, it's going to get better pretty quick. And it did. You know, what a great thing. What a great thing to be able to have that available. You know, there's so many people in a hopeless situation, and there's no way out. The Lord has given us a way out, and I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Well, the thing, and of course, this is emphasized in Mark more than any of the rest of them, but it says in Mark, and believers shall cast out devil spirits, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. And it promises these things. And even though it's only probably maybe emphasized mostly just in Mark, it still is you see it the same in Matthew, you see it in Luke especially. And so we have the promise of deliverance. And the freedom from demons, which a lot of people don't even know they have. But there are people that do know they have them. They got something weird, and that's about the only thing they can relate to.
To be kind of a theme that the people go to Jesus. He doesn't go to them though.
Yeah.
They are seeking the deliverance. You know,
yeah.
As I was looking through, it's, and they came to him. The whole town came to him at one point.
Yeah.
And he delivered many. He doesn't say he delivered everyone, it's just he delivered many. But they're the ones that came to him. He didn't go seeking them, more or less. So I wonder if that isn't kind of a theme.
Yes,
you know,
I think you're right.
I had a question about our neighbors.
Yeah.
And that kind of answers it for me. They need to come. They need to recognize their demonic settings or whatever. And ask for deliverance, it seems to me, you know. I'd love to go and pray for him to have him delivered, but I don't know if that's the right way at this point. I don't know. Yeah. So we've got things to learn, I guess.
You're right. That is the pattern. But you start making rules. Corky and I were talking here a while back. And there was the guy that was by the pool, you know, and Jesus asked him, well, why don't you get in the pool? And, you know, and he's like, well, somebody always beats me to it, you know. And Jesus just did take the initiative in that case, told him to stand up and walk, you know, and he did. But you're right. You know, ordinarily people didn't come to him. Jesus, you know. And this poor guy, of course, he couldn't very well come to Jesus. He was crippled. He was stuck with his mattress. You know.
But he was kind of there seeking, trying.
Well, it's, and you're right. That's a good point. And Charlie, just bringing up, you know, as Keith has been talking about this the past couple of weeks, the one thing that's been kind of being impressed on my spirit is we know how to do it wrong.
True.
And we've had 20 years of being in the Word for better. And let's put that to good use now. I mean, I think what Keith is saying is that we need to be more open to be praying deliverance. I think Brother Charlie's been saying for a while. He's never stopped being open, but we as a church maybe have moved away from it as an emphasis, and I think Keith has come back and said, you know, there are people who need prayer. And of course, that's never changed. What's changed is we maybe haven't provided an open environment where people might approach us. And I think what's being said now, and Keith, correct me if I'm stepping out too far, is that we need to change that to say, we're more than happy to pray for anyone who comes to us saying, I need prayer.
Right.
We're open for that. The flip side is, as we have done through, you know, using Joanne as an example, I've seen someone who the Lord has impressed upon me that needs prayer, and you go and you pray for that person. Or, and if you don't go and pray to them, you pray for them right away. If you see someone in the store, what have you. So, I think, and I've been trying to come to a place of understanding and comfort here, because the last thing I want to do is run out in front of God.
Right.
I do not want me to be telling God, this is what I'm doing, and you need to back me up.
Yeah.
As I take the point here, because we know that doesn't work. And Keith, I think, just touched on when he said the toughest part about this is patience.
Yeah.
You have to be patient to let God lead, and we have to be willing to be ready to fill in on a moment's notice what God leads us to do.
Absolutely.
And I think Keith has been bringing us to the point, like, you know, one of the things we have been slow to move towards has been deliverance recently. And I think that's actually a personal comment, because I don't think Charlie's been slow, and others I don't think have been slow. But as a church, maybe we've kind of not been as quick to recognize what God has given us the ability through the Spirit to do for people. So,
no, I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree.
One of the nice things about having a cancer diagnosis is that it puts you in a place where other people have cancer. Mm-hmm. And I've acted in a way that a little odd, you know? Taking the initiative and asking people if they would like for me to pray for them. And they never say, no, don't keep your hands off it. You know, well, I don't put my hands on these days anyway. But anyway, you know, they're always happy to be prayed for. And, it's been good. You know, little odd, but it's been good. You know,
I
want to not. I don't do it every time, but I guess I think I feel a little nudge from the Lord, you know, to go ahead and pray. And my father used to pop off and do some crazy thing, you know, out of the clear blue. And I think I acquired a little bit of that, so it's and the Lord's pretty used to it, you know. Pop off, do some crazy thing, and then what, you know, whatever.
That's good. I've been very impulsive, but the Lord's made it not so bad.
Right. So, yeah.
I think as they get older, too, I don't care what people think about me as I get older so much. As I did when I was younger.
Uh-huh. Yes, that too.
And so I will step out more in my faith, openly, because I don't care what they think about me anymore so much. I do, but I don't, you know.
I have an example of that. Last week, our neighbor across the road from us, Don and Carol, their daughter was diagnosed. She's been fighting cancer, and we prayed for her before, but they found out she's got cancer in a bone somewhere behind her ear. Uh-huh. In a bone, you know, and they were up, she lives in River Falls, and so they were up there, and then Carol came home So she got the call they were taking her to the hospital, so she left work and went right up there, but she had to come back because she was 2 days without her pills, and she couldn't go any longer without her prescription drug, you know. But anyway, so I went over to ask her how they were doing, and I said, well, why don't you come over, and then you can tell Barb, so she can get it straight from you instead of from me, because I'll leave something out or tell something wrong. So she did, and came over and started talking, and then she broke down. You want to finish it from here?
No.
And we're sitting in the living room, and she started breaking down and crying, and I'm sitting there wondering what do I do, and Barb gets up, gets down on her knees in front of her chair, gives her a hug, and starts praying for her. Out of the blue. You know, it's like, okay, I mean, like, you know, it was great, you know, and they just hugged each other, you know, even through this virus stuff, you know, something like that, God's going to protect you. He's not going to let you get the virus when you're doing something like that. That's my opinion, you know, he's going to keep you safe, both parties, I think. You know, but it was just we haven't even talked to him about religion. I mean, Don comes over and we still have the tapes playing when he comes over, and, you know, it's going, and I think he's aware of it, but, you know, not offended by it. He doesn't say anything. We don't talk about it, but
and
the first thing that's about blew my mind.
I always try to end a conversation with neighbors or whatever, I'm praying for you. And now, like, they believe me or not, I don't know, but I feel that if I demonstrate it, they're more likely to believe.
Well,
and God will honor it. You know?
And you always say, thank you, when you tell them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like,
if no one says, I'd rather you don't.
You
know?
No, they don't.
They don't. And like I say, I'm over being thought of as being weird. Because I probably am, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
I think God's done that work in me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it on my own. I really couldn't.
I've shared more than once that my family, which is not religious by any stretch of the imagination, have a firm belief that if our congregation prays for them for something, that God hears them.
Yeah.
God hears those prayers when our group prays for it, because we must have that special path to God. But they
and we don't just say it, we do it.
Well, and there's been enough answers to prayer that they go, my mom would say, man, you get Corky and Susan's church to be praying about something, and it's pretty much a done deal. Certainly wasn't. We couldn't do anything other than say we're praying. We'll bring up a church. And God answered those prayers enough time that it impacted people's lives and thinking. Not such that they're now sitting in a church and, you know, pillars of their newfound church, but I think they know,
yeah.
You know, in their mind they have seen some of the benefits of prayer.
A seed is planted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, even though they may not, and I don't know if they are not praying, but even if they aren't, and they know you're praying for them, you know, at least they know somebody is for them, you know. And that's just kind of like opening that door slowly, you know. And yeah, God can go, that door's open, you know. But I think some people just have to be doing it through the process slowly. So that, you know, when you go too fast, you can scare people off. And I'm sure we've done that in the past a lot.
Especially if you're not doing it in the Lord's will.
Well.
I'm sure you're exactly right. Because not only did we move too fast, we told them that we're absolutely positively correct, that if they don't get on board, they're doomed.
Mm.
And that's not a very welcoming position to take either.
Yeah.
As you say, but your loving God will have us.
Mm. Yeah, open up the door. If it's there for you to open up and let God do the work. And step back. Mm. I know you can do it a heck of a lot better than I can.
So Keith, in general, are you asking for more prayer? Are you yourself saying that you need more prayer?
Oh, I'm sure I do, but...
When you say we need to be into deliverance,
as a church, as outreach,
or is this just as a church being... I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe you could tell us more what's prompting this in the spirit with you.
Is it Friday night?
Friday night? Are they still meeting on Friday?
On Friday?
Is it because of your Friday night prayer groups that you...
Oh. No, I... I don't think I have any motives or anything. You know, I'm just kind of trying to look at the thing and just see what our options or what our difficulties are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I know that in 82, and even when we went over to Switzerland, that when we started praying with somebody, we prayed until they were delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know what that is? That takes time. And time is too valuable. And when the leadership of Community Chapel took a good look at it, they said, we shouldn't be wasting all this time. Jesus cast out devils and that was right away. It didn't take hours. But there were a lot of people that they call it the Chippewa Falls type of deliverers, a lot of them that were in the chapel, and they begin to get kind of fed up with the type of deliverance that they were doing, but it was an impatient deliverance. What we need to do is we need to hurry these things up, and you can't really hurry up a demon. The demon is set in place, and he's kind of he determines that he's not going to leave, and of course we don't have the power to get rid of him. It's the name of Jesus that we're working with, but do I need deliverance? Probably. Do you need deliverance?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And
let me follow up with that. I think, and I appreciate you sharing. I think there's some truth in that. Jesus prayed for people and they were healed pretty quick. Most of the times in the Bible, that's what we have scripturally. And of course, we know that Jesus, with the fullness of God dwelling in him, probably walked around with a bigger stick against demons than even his disciples, who said, "We prayed for him and we couldn't. The demon wouldn't go." And Jesus responds, "Well, this one requires prayer and fasting. And so it seems to me, in the natural, that, you know, if I'm praying or someone's praying for me and it just doesn't happen right away, probably the person praying for me doesn't have the fullness of God dwelling within them, and it might take more effort. So I think that's reasonable. I think what isn't clear, though, is what's well, it's unreasonable, and you know, praying for someone for 6 hours leads to, I think, some misguided attempts. We start trying to put demons in boxes and all sorts of other things that we came up with as quote unquote tricks of the trade. And so, I'm trying to walk that line where the revelation that I've received in the last 20 years can be put to good use in a spiritual way when I'm praying deliverance. And I'm not sure I have all of that yet. I'm just kind of, my thoughts, I'm just speaking out loud. But
and yet, hey, if the Lord says, keep going, then keep going is probably the thing to do.
Well, if you're being led, it's clear.
Yeah.
If you're being led of the Lord spiritually, there's no question.
Yeah. We haven't done many six-hour bouts here recently, but we've got to call it quits. Let's do a timeout and pick this thing up later. But, I don't know.
It's not to say it.
Right.
Not to say that it won't happen again.
Sure.
What was your experience in your last deliverance?
Let me show him for one tape.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. I couldn't tell you when I had delivered it. I couldn't. I mean, I was just manifesting, and it was full blown, and it was
outwardly
intense, and I don't know. Do you remember anything? Yeah.
And they prayed for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Charlie prayed for me, and
and you felt
I could feel
it,
but I can't tell you what it was. I mean, I would.
Yeah. No, and that doesn't really matter because you were delivered.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just came. It came on like the snap of a finger.
Okay.
And it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
I was going to say there wasn't a question that there's a manifestation. She was outwardly manifesting in a physical way that was noticeable in the natural.
Okay.
And she clearly did not want to be. So, as we were talking about earlier, she was in a place where I do not want this. She was in a place where the Lord had put his hand on this particular demon and made that demon manifest. She wasn't being prayed for to get a manifestation to occur. The manifestation was occurring. And she was rebuking it herself and needed some other people who weren't being as influenced by that demon to step in and pray for deliverance. And
see, that's where I think we made a mistake in the past is we tried to make it manifest itself, to bring up a demon. You know, you need deliverance of this, we'll pray for that. Well, in your case, you were already in the manifestation. We can't go with everything else, just pray for somebody and then get the manifestation itself. I think that's where we made our mistake. We were trying to do it ourselves and not let God bring it out to us.
And the timing was right.
Yeah. Well, and the timing was God's timing.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I think
that's something we need to learn from.
I keep thinking in the Old Testament there was God wanted somebody to do something and he wanted to do it his way and it didn't happen and it kept going on. And I can't remember this, if I'm telling it right, but I can't remember it that way. But God wanted it done this way and he was telling God how he wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me that's it. Now I may be all wrong here, but
Jonah?
Jonah's certainly in that
one. I'm thinking of Jonah.
Jonah and Nineveh.
Yeah, because the Lord told Jonah, "I need you to do this." Jonah said, "I can't do that," and he ran away.
I thought it had something to do with a battle or something, but I'm not sure. Don't trust me on that, because you know. But it just seems that as long as he was telling God how he was going to do it, nothing would be done.
Well, I think that's a very solemn principle.
You know?
Yeah.
Until he finally realized, and that's the same with deliverance. We can't go tell a demon what to manifest. We have to let God bring it out and let God do it.
God told Moses to strike the rock once, and Moses struck it twice, and he paid for it.
Yep.
He was extra thirsty, which God didn't know.
Right.
Yeah. I'm really thirsty. One is good, two is better, right, Lord?
I want more.
And then the Lord said, no, not exactly.
Yep. You don't want to make too firm a doctrine on that, because then there was also the guy that was told, go strike this thing here, and he struck it, I don't know, four or five times, and the Lord said, gee whiz, if you'd only struck it 8 or 9 times, you'd have been a whole lot better off.
That's the part about our God that really bothers me, because he's almost more concerned.
Right.
I'm trying, Lord, I'm trying. Well.
No, I was just, you know.
Well, no, I think it's a good
example.
Yeah. There are people who know they need help.
Yeah.
And we just need to be willing. Someone approaches me and says, I need prayer. The position to take is, okay.
Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Now.
You know, I mean, if God has told you that and you've approached me, there is work to be done here. Because things, you know, but it, you know, the flip side of that, as Charlie's been careful to bring out, is, you can see a person who's in need, and they might not recognize the need, but you do, because the Lord revealed that to you. And in that case, I think, is also a perfect time to go and say,
right,
let me pray for you. You know, you've got to be sensitive and things like that. But you know, it's... So I've just been trying to make sure I understand.
Keith's position
at this point. Oh, Keith is being led of this, and I just want to understand what exactly how that is, because I wasn't sure I was getting it right.
Yeah. So we need to be in prayer about it.
Well, being in prayer is good, period, but you're right. You're right. But
I'm not quite hearing it,
sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. We need to pray.
Few more months, Keith. Few more months, and the herd immunity will be set in. And I figure by July, we won't have to be wearing masks at all. We'll have people be vaccinated, and I'll remember to speak up because I'm a soft speaker.
We'll go like Charlie
did. The bottle.
We definitely want to be in whatever ministry God leads us in, and we want to be there in season.
Yes.
We want to be ready.
Amen. Love you all.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.